I saw that video a couple weeks ago. I shut it off. About 2 minutes into it, I thought, well, this is the dumbest job I've ever... What is this? I never saw the ending, and a couple days ago, I saw that, and I went, oh. Oh. I'm so glad that job is taken, and I can't apply. That's all I'm going to say. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I am a mama's boy. You know what I did when I got done seeing that video? Oh, yeah, I called my mom. Oh, you bet I did. I was like, Mom, I love you so much. I didn't get you anything at Christmas. I didn't send you anything for your birthday. I love you so much. She's like, I know. You never send me anything. So I sent her flowers. Oh, yeah. So I see this week, and I'm like, I am not missing Mother's Day this year. Her present for Christmas is still sitting near my dining room table. This awesome book. I said, oh, that would be great for Mom. But, you know, hey, moms make that happen, right? Mom makes that. But kids, good intentions. And so I ordered her proflowers.com because they live like 30 miles from anywhere. And I'm thinking, what am I going to get for her? And so I call this thing. I hear where they have just this thing of 100 flowers for $20. I said, oh, I am going to be the number one son. Now it's just me and my brother. He's 8 years younger. Since my sister's passed away, I am now number one. So I sent her a card with this thing, and I realized it cost me more money to send it than it did to buy it because they have to drive 30 miles just from the nearest town to find the farm. Yeah, and I was like, okay, this is going to be awesome. She's going to get this. I'm going to make sure it's there on Saturday. She's going to go, my son is the best. And I wrote, Mom, I love you. Oh, you're my greatest fan, and today I'm your biggest fan because that's my mom and I. We always do that. That's kind of our thing is she's my biggest fan. I can call her, and I know no matter how bad I preach or no matter what I do dumb with the kids or my wife, I can call my mom, and she's my biggest fan. I can tell her about any joke in the world, and she's just going to laugh even when nobody else gets it. And so I said, from your number one fan today, your number one son. It was so cool. Till Saturday morning, I'm on my way to the Tigers game and the home plate, big Christian church service. I get a text from my brother who lives 6 hours away on the other side of the state. He drove home for Mother's Day. It said, I see that UPS tried to deliver some flowers to Mom. I intercepted them. And he changed the card. Oh, yeah, trust me, it's on. Yeah. I finally think I'm going to do something nice for Mom. Oh, no. Number two son gets it. Mom just has that trump card. Moms, you have a trump card. I don't care how tough you are. I don't care if you're like special op, Marine Corps, whatever. I don't care if you're a thug and a drug dealer. You bring up Mom to anybody, and these tough guys are just like, that's my mom. Don't talk about my mama. I mean, Mom just has that word is like a trump card. Seriously, it's Mother's Day. This place is packed. There's three times in the church I know the church is packed. It's Christmas and Easter, our Creasters. You know, the people come twice a year. And then there's Mother's Day. And are you ready for this? The number two most highly attended church service in the United States is Mother's Day. And I'm not going to tell you which one it beats out, Christmas or Easter. But it does. You know why? Because Mom trumps. The kids like, what do you want, Mom? And you know, moms and grandmas say, I just want you to go to church with me. So if you're here today because your mom said you're going to church with me, God bless you. Welcome to Grace Ministry Center. And I'd love to invite you out. Our Christmas Eve service is December 24th. So mark that on your calendar. We'd love to have you. For the third most highly attended service in the church. Poor Jesus' birthday. Mom, you have a trump card. Your mom. You're the one that brought life into it. I mean, you get away with stuff. You can do things. I mean, moms can walk into the middle of things that dads can't. Moms can say things. My brother and I, last year when we were on vacation, my son and my nephews decided they wanted to wrestle. We couldn't get them to stop. I mean, they were just going at it. And of course, in grandma's house, this was not cool. So what happened? I hear grandma, my mom, go, "That's it!" And I mean, the whole room froze. I mean, nobody moved. You could have heard a pin drop as mom spoke. And of course, everybody obeyed. I thought, how come? Because it's mom. It's not dad. It's not you. It's not. It's mom. Mom just has that fun ability. She's mom. And when push comes to shove, even in rough relationships, when push comes to shove, you know, my mom and I cannot get along, but you can never say anything about my mom. I mean, that's mom. And who came up with this idea of moms anyway? Why did we need moms? Why not just, you know, have eggs and hatch or just kind of, who knows, I don't know, computer chips? Who came up with this idea of 9 months of incubation, of carrying you in that womb and nurturing your life? And you, from the beginning, were sucking life from her in that umbilical cord. From the beginning of life, she was puking her guts out. She couldn't sleep at night. She had headaches, nausea, and she started eating stuff she never would dream. I mean, who came up with this concept? I'm glad you asked. One of my favorite authors back in the day when I used to read a thing called newspaper. Before all this stuff, there was an author by the name of Irma Bombeck. Oh, some of you are going, yeah, you know who I'm talking about. Okay, so I'm going to kind of be dated here a little bit, but you'll understand this. She wrote, Irma Bombeck tells how God created mothers in one of her articles. And I want to share this with you. I think it's a beautiful story. She says that on the day God created mothers, he had already been working long overtime. And an angel walks up and says, "Lord, you're sure spending an awful lot of time on this one." And the Lord turned and he said to the angel, "Have you read the specs on this model? She's supposed to be completely washable, but not plastic. She's to have 180 moving parts, all of them replaceable. She's to have a kiss that will heal everything from a broken leg to a broken heart. She's to have a lap that will disappear whenever she stands up. And she's supposed to be able to function on black coffee and leftovers." Some of you are relating to this already. "And she's supposed to have six pairs of hands." "Six pairs of hands," said the angel. "That's impossible." "It's not the six pair of hands that bother me," said the Lord. "It's the three pairs of eyes. She's supposed to have one pair that sees through closed doors so that whenever she says, 'What are you kids doing in there?' she already knows what those kids are doing in there. She's supposed to have another set of eyes in the back of her head to see things she's not supposed to see, but she must see. And then she's got to have one pair in the front that could just look at a child with that goofy look and communicate love and understanding without saying a word." "Wow, that's too much," said the angel. "You can't put that much in one model. Why don't you just rest for a while and resume your creating tomorrow?" "No, I can't do that," said the Lord. "I'm close to creating something very much like myself. I've already come up with a model who can heal herself when she's sick, who can feed her family of six with 1 pound of hamburger, and can persuade a 9-year-old to take a shower." Then the angel looked at the model of motherhood a little more closely. "She's too soft. She's so soft." "Oh, but she's tough," said the Lord. "You'd be surprised how much this model of motherhood can do." "Can she think?" asked the angel. "Not only can she think," she said the Lord, "but she can reason and compromise and persuade." Then the angel reached over and he touched her cheek. "This one has a leak," he said. The Lord said, that's a tear. And the angel said, "What's a tear for?" "Well, it's for joy and sadness, sorrow, disappointment, and pride." "You're a genius putting a tear on that model." And the Lord said, oh, but I didn't put that tear there. That's her own. Wow, what an incredible story that Irma Bombeck wrote about motherhood. And I'm not sure, you know, that's exactly the way it went down in the Garden of Eden or in heaven. But I do want you to know something. 180 moving parts, all replaceable. Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, and able to leap tall teenagers in a single bound. Look up in the sky, it's a plane, it's a bird. No, it's probably your mom doing what she does every day. Amazing, amazing. And I also know that today, on a day like this, not all moms were able to do what you were hoping they were able to do. Maybe for some of you were adopted and you wondered whatever happened. Maybe for some of you, you and your mom are estranged. But I do know this, your mom had the courage to do what in our society, once every 15 seconds, moms aren't doing, and that's giving you life, letting you at least come on out of that womb. And so I want to talk about honoring moms, because I think moms, it just has this unique ability, this incredible thing. There's a mom, there's a lady in the Bible. Her name, most of us would never even know. But Paul, in our Roman Road series, in our When in Rome series, tucks her name away in one of the most unusual places you'd ever find. In Romans chapter 16, at the end of this mountain of theology of sin and hell and damnation and righteousness and marriage, in the middle of all this, he writes this. I commend to you our sister Phoebe. Who? Phoebe. And all we know about her is this. A servant of the church. Wow, talk about, well, who are you? We know Mary Magdalene. We know Mary, the mother of Jesus. I mean, we know a lot of women. We know Martha. We know a lot of people in the Bible. Who in the world is this? And the next verse gives us a little bit of insight. All we know, she's a servant, and it says, I ask you, the church, today, on this day, on this Mother's Day, in the Lord, to receive her in the Lord in a way, help me, church, let's do this together. Today we're going to receive her in a way worthy. Oh, worthy. Moms, ladies, worthy are you. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Honor. I want to give you three things. The Bible says we need to honor our mothers and fathers. So today we're honoring, according to President, who came up with that? In 1914, a guy by the name of Woodrow Wilson issued a day to commemorate in America, quote, in his first Mother's Day proclamation, Wilson stated that the holiday offered a chance to, quote, publicly express our love and reverence for our mothers. That's awesome. So in the United States of America today, because of that proclamation, today, it's not just that we have a Sunday to do this. Today, there are flags in every government building and in place, in public places. They said, raise those flags for the mothers of our country who fought for freedom, who gave and sacrificed their sons for the cause of freedom. So moms, today is a great day. You are honored. And how do we do that? The first word right there is, I think the word mom is a huge word. You say mom, mother, and everybody's like, oh. So the first thing is, it's a word of honor. And the word honor means weight, like this huge weight. That's what honor means. It's a heavy lead word. And when you honor someone, it's like this, wow. It's almost like you can't even stand up under it. So moms, to you and all that you've done, wow. And you say, but my mom didn't do that. I understand some moms didn't make it, but they gave you life. We ought to honor them, whether they were there. Some of you, your moms are still in the picture. Some have gone into heaven, and you just honor them, and you had such a great relationship. Some of you are adopted, and you don't understand what happened in that moment. And for some of you, you and your mom just didn't get along. But you know what? She gave you life, and you can honor her for life. To me, one of the most courageous acts in our nation today is a woman who doesn't do what seems to be the most convenient thing in ending a life in a womb. I think the most courageous thing to do. The reason I say that is because regardless of my relationship with my mother, I know this. When she was 15 years old, she had the courage, as a dropout in high school, shipped away as my father was kicked out of his house, shipped to Texas, then to California, and as a 15-year-old girl having a baby. where the world might just throw her away, she had the courage to say, you know what? I'm going to do this. And at 17, she's pregnant again by herself, and then I come along, so my sister and then me. And my mom at least gave us life and had the courage. And I am so thankful that my mom had the courage to do that. And some of you have been in those situations. Thank you for your courage. Some of you have been in situations where that was a tougher decision than just sitting here talking about it. And I just want you to know you can honor your moms for having given you life. I just don't get that. As a guy, I don't have to get that. But I can honor that. As a man, I am so honored that my mom and I have a wife that's able to do that, and my children can honor her. Because if you don't honor, what you sow is what you reap. So honor in the Lord so that you might reap in the Lord. Mom needs that full recognition. And you know what? Today, I say this to you moms. Let's do this. I'm going to close this thing up here pretty quick. Yeah, come on up. Moms, you should get anything you want today that will make you happy. Okay? So all moms, whatever. If your kids love you, right now, kids, if you love your moms, whatever they want, you're going to give them. Husbands, whatever they want, you ought to give it to them, if you really loved them. If you do. I mean, if you really care, you'd do just about anything today. There, I said it. So I'm going to say this. There's a saying that my dad used to say, and now I say it. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Where did that come? Do you know that's a scripture? I didn't know that. I looked this up. I found this. It's in Proverbs chapter 25 or 23. 23:25 says, may your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice, because yeah, I brought you into this world. That's also scriptural. These are biblical verses. Exodus chapter 20, the fourth commandment. Honor your mother and father. It's the first commandment with a promise that you might have long life. I'm just giving you the Bible. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. You need to honor her. The second thing is her name carries healing. Mama has healing. I don't care who you are. If you haven't had a mom who can love up on you and heal, there's something about a mom who brings healing. Her kisses, her gentle touch of her hand is amazing medicine. How many times do you remember being sick and your mom or your grandmother just coming up and just kind of just the touch of her hand. Healing. The word mom has healing in it. I think God made moms healers just by proxy. And the last thing I want to tell you is moms not only are to be honored, their name is honor, their name is healing, but their name is grace. You know, I think God made woman so different. When he looked at Adam, he said, you just ain't going to cut this. This ain't happening. You need a helper. And it's not good for you to be alone. Why? Because if this world were run by men, yeah, you're already saying it, aren't you? And I hear the men going, oh boy. I mean, seriously. I mean, men, we're just wired different. My kids, my poor kids, thank God that my kids had a mother. Thank God for you moms and grandmothers who've poured into your kids and grandkids. Because there's grace. I think God put grace in a woman, packaged it, made her bilateral, made guys brain damaged. And that I can tell you medically that's true. Because in your womb, your mother's womb, guys, when you were flushed with testosterone in about the second or third month, when that flushing happens and you become a male, it severs the left and right hemispheres of your brain. True Harvard study. And so you don't have the bilateralness, you're unilateral or one-track minded. Which is great. So you can go and get things done that need to be get done. You can get your hammer and you can take that hammer and you can say, do I need a bigger hammer? I mean, when your kids are broke, it's like, you need a bigger hammer? You want something to cry about? I'll give you something to cry about. When I was your age, what size hammer do you want? Shut up. Stop crying. Why do they cry? Why are they crying? This one's broke. No, mothers who are bilateral, so beautiful, the story, moms. You are so, women, you are so wired into the most beautiful way. God is good. Irma Bombeck tapped into what we already knew in Proverbs 31 and Genesis 3, that he needed someone who is bilateral, who could just come along and understand when you're hurting to go, come on. I mean, when my kids call, they're like, Mom. I'm like, hey, what's up? Can you talk to me? Mom, can I talk to Mom? Hey, it's Dad. Mom. Why? Because Mom understands. Mom nurtures. Dad's got the hammer. It's like, let's fix this thing. I mean, people come up to me and they're like, Pastor, I just, oh, you need a hug? Yeah. We done? Now, some of you, first service people, guy come up, he just gave me a big hug. He says, there, now you're going to get a lot of those from me. I'm like, oh, great. Looking forward to it. We're going to start a new security system in the church, too. It's okay that I don't do that. You know, we're wired different. It's okay. It's not wrong. My wife covers that. She has grace. When we go on youth trips and other things, she's got a nickname. They call her Mama O or Mama Bear. I'm Papa Bear. She's Mama Bear, Mama O. When we go, the kids know that Mama Bear's there. And if something on a trip, when their parents aren't with us on 19 years of youth trips, Mama Bear's there. And she's like, oh, what do you need? I'm like, what do you mean, what do they need? We're on a trip. They're supposed to be a leader. Pick them up. She's like, and Mama Bear gets in there and she just nurtures. She's Mama Bear. She takes care of the cubs. But I want you to know something. Ladies, and I know this is wired in, and I don't know where God put this in. It might have been a last-minute addition into your wired package. But when Mama Bear, her cubs, she's Teddy Bear until her cubs are threatened, and then she's Grizzly Bear. And no one knows the scorn of a woman. I'll just stop right there. You don't mess with the cubs. Thank God for women. Moms, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you do. Thank you. Those of you that are going to be moms someday, thank you. Thank you. Grandmothers who are pouring into generations of children, thank you. We work with kids next door all the time. Last Wednesday, God unleashed the floodgates, and kids were pouring out their hearts, open mic for an hour, and they were just talking about, I was going to commit suicide. I have cuts all over my body. I was going to do this, and I found a loving place. I found a leader, this guy or this lady in my group, and she's been loving on me. I mean, just, you should have heard it. I sat back going, God, we couldn't have made this stuff up. Healing. Kids giving their lives to Christ. Tears. Why? Because moms would do anything for their children. And I'm not saying dads. Dads, we'll talk about you guys in June. But moms, I heard about a lady who decided to love up on her kids. And just like Phoebe, nobody knew her story for 60 years. And then a group of kids in Kansas, in the United States, found this woman in Poland, in communist Poland. And they found her story. They said, this can't be true. This is impossible. Nobody has ever done this. Not even Schindler in Schindler's List during World War II did this. Elzbieta Fakowska was just 5 months old when she was placed in a carpenter's toolbox and smuggled out of the Warsaw ghetto. She was placed with a Polish family on the area inside of the wall, and the young woman who carried her out of the ghetto added a tiny little Elzbieta's name, parents' name, and new address to a piece of tissue paper on which were written the details of other children. 2,500 children. Irina was 29 years old. Irina Sendler. Story. In the Polish ghetto, the size of the park in central New York, 500,000 Jews were sent there to basically die by the Nazis. She was asked by a group, would you go in and help them, being Polish in this Warsaw community, and you can minister. She started smuggling from day one. for 3 years, 2,500 children. She'd put them in potato sacks. She'd put them in ambulances. She would put them in coffins, living kids. She'd put them in a toolbox. And she would smuggle them past the Nazi guards. 2,500 children. And when she'd get to the Nazi guards, as the dogs would sniff and do this, she had a dog that went with her as well. And she trained it by doing this. When she got around those Nazis, and if a baby was crying in the box or in the potato sacks or in the tool kit, she would step on the dog's paw, and the dog would bark and yipe, which would get the Nazi dogs barking, and the chaos would erupt, and they'd say, just move along, move along. She wrote the names of every one of those children on a piece of paper, tissues. At one point, her and her, one of her compadres were caught, and they hid the tissues in their underwear. They placed them into a jar, jars of life, and they went and hid them underneath a tree. When the Warsaw ghetto was destroyed by the Nazis, they came and just annihilated everyone. When that was going on, they caught Irina. They tortured her. Someone gave her address up, and they went to her home. They took her. They beat her within inches of her life. They broke her leg. They broke her ankle. She walked with a limp for the rest of her life in a cane. She was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. She didn't get it, but she was nominated. 91 years old, they found her. Her story had never been told. This woman, when the war was over, went and dug up that jar and went and found those 2,500 children and tried to find the parents and reunite them all. Almost all of the parents had been annihilated by the Nazi regime. She found orphanages and homes and adoptions, and she found ways of every one of those children to have them. Those children today, many of them are still alive, and they tell her story. That she saved their life. A mother's love is full of grace, and they would do anything to the ends of the earth to save you. If you're here today, you ought to thank a mother, a grandmother, someone who's trying to bring grace into your life. The truth in the church is this: we have a lot of unsaved children and grandchildren, and we would do anything to see them know the love of God in their hearts and spend eternity in heaven, smuggling them right past the devil's door. And when the hounds of hell bark, we'd step on the foot of grace, Jesus Christ. He'd cry out in a loud voice, Father, forgive them. And he would distract all of hell and sneak you into heaven. How we desire as a church to love one another. God bless you as we honor moms. We honor moms. We try to share the story. We here at Grace partner with you moms, grandmas, to reach these kids in this community. There are 8,000 teenagers within an earshot of this church. We're doing each one reach one. We're training our teenagers. We're training our adults. We're trying to learn to save one life. Grab a carpenter's box. Join us. Grab a carpenter's box. Pray for us. Grab a carpenter's box. And let's go into hell where some people feel like they're living in this world. And let's go save the lost. Can we do that? Moms, we love you. We honor you. Yes. Let's stand together.